prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution.
Welcome to our Christmas Eve Eve show.
Christmas Eve Eve show.
Yeah, double Eve.
Yeah, we contend that faith and reason can coexist and it meets right here.
Brains and Bibles can go together.
Oh, yeah.
God and gooey brainness.
Right. God and gray matter.
There you go. God and gray matter. Not as demonstrated by my previous former stupid statements. We believe you can be logical.
You've never made a stupid
statement. And intelligent. Au contraire. I've made plenty of stupid statements, but we're going to hear, speaking of stupid statements, we're going to hear some stupid statements today.
Uh-huh.
We got some good quotes coming up. Let me give you a quote about Jesus. You're going to hear this later.
Yes, there may have been a charismatic, deluded individual wandering around at that time.
Oh, okay. No.
A charismatic, deluded individual.
I'm sure there were plenty of them running around at that time.
There were... 2,000 years ago.
There may have been. Of course there was.
There's a bunch of them right now.
The Bible even talks about it.
Oh,
you know, how about the guy that was possessed? You know, would you call him deluded?
Okay.
The guy that called himself Legion?
Look, on Christmas Eve Eve, we want to welcome you to Truth Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And we want you to come on over to our website, truthrevolution.tv. And we are inviting you right now to Revolution Church's Christmas Eve service.
Right.
This is going to be Monday night at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to wrap it up in like 45 minutes or an hour. It's going to be a good time, rocking Christmas music,
right.
A short sermon, but it's going to be enjoyable. It might be the best decision you've made all year.
Right, that's
to get
tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Monday night at 6 p.m. at Revolution Church. So come on out. But today, we have a question, don't we?
We may have a bunch of questions by the time it's all over.
We want to know, was Jesus real?
Yes, we want to know that.
We always answer the question like, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is the Bible accurate? But like, what if Jesus didn't actually exist?
Right. If he didn't exist, then what are we doing?
Wasting our time.
We're wasting our time.
All right. Well, I guess Jesus didn't exist. Show's over. See you next week.
Uh-huh. Right. Whatever.
Okay. No, look.
No, listen. Hang on a second. Before you okay. dive into that, whatever you're diving into,
dive.
Without looking, I'm sure. You know, the Bible even tells us itself that if you know, Jesus does not exist,
if
all of this is a lie, then we are to be pitied above all men.
Yes, that's right. That's actually a biblical quote. Our faith is futile.
Right.
That's in 1 Corinthians 15, actually. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are still in our sins. It doesn't deny that we're sinful. We're still in our sins. We're still hopeless. It's pointless. But we are wanting to know, okay, this is the celebration of the birth of Jesus. That's what Christmas is.
Mm-hmm.
I actually heard a quote on the news the other day. This lady was talking, and she's like, I'm just tired of the whole religion factor of Christmas. I just want, it's like, you're tired of what?
Anyway, I'm tired of the commercialism.
Yeah. And she wasn't, she was tired of that whole religion. Just get rid of that religion stuff. I'm tired of that during Christmas.
Wow.
But anyway, the point is Jesus was born on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to ask the question, was Jesus actually born on this day?
Right. Because you know, the thing too, is that people question the validity of the existence of Christ.
That's right. Gary Habermas, who's a great biblical scholar, said, some scholars think that the Gospels, that's part of the book of the Bible, are poor records dominated not by historical concerns, but written as religious propaganda for the purpose of communicating a particular message. He said that in his book, The Historical Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, it's not true. I mean, not totally. Look, the Bible contains a wealth of reliable historical information, which can, and indeed should, be used as the primary reliable historical document relating to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Do you exactly. know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Because, and your people, okay, remind me whether or not, if I say this right or not, we're talking about archaeology.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeology cannot prove something.
Okay.
Okay, or it cannot disprove something.
Right. Which in a sense. It all it can do is give us facts, and we have to make assumptions or guesses based on those facts. The thing we always say, and this is kind of getting off a little bit of today's show, but the thing we always say is that if you found Napoleon's sword in France with his blood on it, would you know for sure that Napoleon was in France? And the answer is no. You know for sure that Napoleon's sword with his blood on it was in France.
Right.
But and you would have to make some conjecture, some educated guesses to reason that he was probably there. But there's really a thousand reasons that his sword could have been there with blood on it.
Right. And the reason I ask is because, you know, a lot of people point to archaeology as a reason why Jesus never existed.
Well, they should look at archaeology as a reason to know Jesus did exist.
Yeah.
Because we have excellent evidence, and we're going to look at some of that today. But first, I just wanted to point out that the Bible itself should not be discounted as a reliable indicator of historical information regarding Jesus.
Right. Anybody that's listened to our show for any length of time know that, you know, we've talked about it, and this is...
That we're blue in the face.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's right. Just go listen to past shows at truthrevolution.tv, and you'll see we think the Bible is perfect. It's inerrant. We don't think there's errors in there as long as you interpret it correctly. If you think there are errors, send us a question. Show us the errors.
Right.
Send us
Please
a question.
Do.
Challenge us. We want to be challenged.
If you are sitting there right now, shaking your head thinking
this
these guys
stupid,
are
that's...
just full of it,
mm, 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 mm.
Then stop being lazy, write it down, and send it to us.
That's right. Stand up to us.
I'm looking for someone to stand
us,
up to Jeff.
Send us an email, a harsh email.
Do.
Or a nice one.
Well, when we first started, we did get a couple of those, and that can't be the only people out there. It's like we've conquered the world. Now there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people out there who have challenges or questions that are actually rational,
right.
Smart, intelligent people. Actually, I have a number of friends who are atheists or agnostics who are very intelligent people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what their questions are.
Right.
Anyway, we're totally off track again.
Kill that bunny.
Man. All right. So, but the Bible, we think it is a reliable indicator. And just because it's promoting Jesus doesn't mean it's automatically false.
Right. It's not just a religious propaganda.
Right. But nevertheless, there are plenty of extra biblical ancient sources that talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I want to get to this guy, Christopher Hitchens, who is a famous atheist who is now passed away. He is talking about Jesus and the existence of Jesus, and he contends that this is pretty amazing. I mean, Christopher Hitchens actually contends Jesus probably did exist, kind of. Check out what he has to say here.
There is, on the historicity point, there are only two reasons, I think, to suppose that there may have been the figure of some kind of deluded rabbi present at that time.
Deluded.
The first is the fakery of the story. The fakery itself proves something. The prophecy says that...
No, wait a minute. I just want to jump in here.
Okay.
The fakery of the story. You can hear more of what he has to say about it. But he is saying the Bible is so incredible about its story about Jesus. It's almost so ridiculous that you have to figure there's something real going on, because if it was fake, they would have made a better fake.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
That's his point.
Yeah. So Jesus was real in some sense.
Right.
All right. Let's have him continue here.
Okay.
This man must be born in the house of David, of David's line, in David's town. It means he must be born in Bethlehem. Jesus of Nazareth is well known to be born in Nazareth.
Hmm?
In order to get him to Bethlehem, a huge fabrication has to be undertaken. A census is proposed by Caesar Augustus. No such census ever took place.
What?
The people of the region were not required to go back to their hometown.
They weren't?
That's never happened.
Never?
Quirinius was not governor of Syria.
He wasn't?
In that year, as the Gospels say. None of the story of the Nativity is true in any detail, and not one of the Gospels agrees with each other on this fabrication.
Oh, okay. Man.
Oh, all right, hold on.
I love Christopher Hitchens.
Hold on. All right, check it out. All right, you know, if you've listened to our show for any length of time, we've only been doing this for a little over a year now. Okay. This guy, when we first stumbled upon this clip, I mean, Jeff went hysterical. Because
I literally got up and walked around the room going, this is awesome.
Right, because he basically, in a little basket of about what, maybe two and a half minutes, basically just tried to refute everything that we've been talking about on this show.
But he doesn't have the facts right.
And he doesn't have the facts right. And we've refuted every one of these facts at some point in time within the last year.
Right. I mean, he says that there was no census that actually took place.
A census is proposed by Caesar Augustus. No such census ever took place.
He sounds so convincing.
Well, he's got a British accent. That's how you know he's for real. But he says no such census ever took place. That wasn't a very good that British accent, was it? That was pretty terrible. Fortunately, I'm smarter than I am good at accents.
Right.
And he's wrong that no such census ever took place. Luke chapter 2 is talking about the census of Jesus' birth.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that there was a census of the entire Roman world. Now, the census was issued by Caesar Augustus and took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Quirinius. Can you say that for me, Dave?
Quirinius.
Good. You do better than
governor of Syria.
Thank you. That was like all radio, nice, deep, thick. All right. Whatever. Additionally, Luke mentions that each person went to his hometown to register. Now, Christopher Hitchens rejects every single one of those mm-hmm. things that the Bible says. Does this match what's known about history? Well, the thing is, Christopher Hitchens is right on some accounts, but he's totally wrong when it comes to making the rubber meet the road here.
Mm-hmm.
An ancient Latin inscription called the Titellus Venetus indicates that a census did take place in Syria and Judea about AD 5 to 6.
Uh-huh.
So Hitchens is like, hey, look, we know it took place AD 5 to 6, not when Jesus was born. Jesus was born 2 or 3 BC. And so Hitchens is going, this is stupid. The census wasn't when Jesus was born. The census was way right. after Jesus was
like
born.
Like, what, 5 or 7 years old or something like that?
Right. Plus, Quirinius was not governor. There were other people who were governors of Syria and the Judean area at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give you the answer to this on the other side of the
really?
Break.
You're like making his argument for him right now.
Well, this is the point. Like, he sees these facts, but he's totally missing the most important facts, which I'm going to give you right on the other side of this break. Truthrevolution.tv.
Yeah, you want to come check out past shows?
And come out to Revolution Church this morning. Start at 10:15 a.m.
About half an hour from now.
And Christmas Eve tomorrow night, 6 p.m.
It's going to be rocking.
Come on out. Check us on the other side of this break. We'll give you the answer to Hitchens' problem.
Looking for a Christmas Eve service? Check out Revolution Church on Monday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, 6 p.m. With rocking Christmas music, a fun children's program, and teaching that actually applies to your life, this may be the best decision you've made all year. Check us out online at SalinaRevolution.com. Everyone is invited, so check us out online at SalinaRevolution.com. Again, that's SalinaRevolution.com. Revolution Church, Christmas Eve, 6 p.m.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does a dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law? How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. And Jeff's got a mouthful of chocolate.
I ate a little chocolate during our break.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I'm just trying to out you, man.
Thank you to the radio station, KSAL, for giving us chocolate.
It's awesome.
All right.
So, you know, speaking about, you know, you got questions, we got answers.
Yeah.
Revolution Church has got answers. Maybe not to all your questions like the commercial says, but they're really important ones. We got answers for it.
That's right. And here's the important question. Is Christopher Hitchens right?
A census is proposed by Caesar Augustus. No such census ever took place.
What I want to know is Hitchens real?
What?
Did he really actually exist?
Oh, geez.
Yes. I suppose there's some...
There's YouTube videos.
There's some delusional guy running around on YouTube a couple years ago.
A charismatic, deluded individual.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking like that.
Oh, look.
Okay. We make fun of it, but this is it's a very serious deal.
It is a very serious deal because we want to know, does Christopher Hitchens exist?
Yes, there may have been a charismatic... deluded individual.
Actually, he's not that charismatic. But okay, look.
He's awfully deluded, though.
He was very intelligent. Yes. But Christopher Hitchens actually says there was no census.
Right.
When Jesus was born. Now, we've laid out that there wasn't a census, or that we know there was a census in Judea about 5 or 6 AD. Mm-hmm. Jesus was born AD, as in, you know, A, letter D, not AD. Jesus was born 2 or 3 BC.
Right.
And so they look at that and they go, huh, there was no census. Plus, they know that Quirinius, the guy the Bible says was the one who was governor, they say he wasn't governor during that time. Right. Mm-hmm. Someone else was governor. Now, it is known, this is true, that Quirinius was made governor of Syria, of Augustus, in AD 6. This demonstrates a problem with connecting his governorship and Jesus' birth years.
Right, it's a time problem.
Right, it is a time problem. But archaeologist Sir William Ramsay discovered several inscriptions that indicated Quirinius was made governor on two different occasions.
Dun, dun, dun.
And here is where Hitchens and other people who say there's a problem with this go wrong. During the first time he was governor, it was several years prior to the latter, which could make him governor during the time of Jesus' birth. Now, critics point out that bits and pieces of historical information actually show that other people were governor during that time. So it couldn't have been Quirinius. Whatever he was, he wasn't governor during that time because someone else was. But what's really interesting is that historians believe Quirinius was a military leader. Now, the book of Luke uses the Greek word that doesn't mean governor, it means leadership in general.
Okay.
Quirinius was a type of governing figure.
Right. He governed a bunch of men.
A bunch of men, mm-hmm, during the time of Jesus' birth. And an Egyptian papyrus dating from AD 104 demonstrates that it was very common for people to go back to their hometown for a census.
Right.
So we know, fact, people would go to their hometown for censuses. Fact, Quirinius was some type of government leader during Jesus' birth. And fact, it's very likely that there were censuses taken throughout the entire empire at different times, and Augustus was one of the ones who started the process. Luke, in his writing, strongly points towards the understanding that this census was a repeated event. That is what's going on.
Right.
This census wasn't just one thing that happened in 5 AD while Quirinius was governor there. This was a repeated census, years and years continuing to reoccur while Quirinius was some kind of leader, and people had to go to their hometowns. Now, listen to part of Hitchens' quote and consider everything we've just said.
A census is proposed by Caesar Augustus. No such census ever took place.
Wrong. He's wrong. I mean, a census like that did take place. Now, here's what's interesting, you know, and he goes on in the longer quote that we heard to talk about how Quirinius wasn't the governor, but he was.
Right.
He goes on to, because Hitchens didn't understand what the Greek word for governor meant, just meant leader. Hitchens goes on to say there wasn't a census, which there was. Hitchens didn't understand the timeline, how it was a repeated event. And he goes on to say that people didn't go home to their homes for censuses, but he obviously is unaware of the Egyptian papyrus from 104.
He obviously didn't do a lot of research into, I mean, maybe he thought he did.
Right.
And he sounds very smart, and he probably is very smart.
Yeah.
He's just not very studious.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it's interesting because our goal here today is show, look, Jesus really was born. He really was a historical figure that was real. So we don't have to worry about that. But there was other things in the Bible that show these are historical events too. There was a historian named Tacitus, and he was a first century guy. He lived from about AD 55 to 120. And he was born only, you know, shortly after Jesus died. He wrote a number of words about Christ in his report regarding Christians and their involvement in the Roman fires, because Christians were blamed for the Roman fires.
Yes.
Which Christians were blamed to take the heat off of Nero.
Because mm-hmm. He did it himself.
Right. Now, Tacitus, you think he did it himself?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he was... You know, he burned a lot of Christians, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he left one unattended. I don't know.
Terrible stuff he did to Christians. Anyway, okay, back to Tacitus. Stop getting me off track.
Sorry.
All right. Tacitus did not believe in Jesus. He didn't believe Jesus had risen from the dead, in fact, since he refers to it as a superstition. But his writings contain references to Christians. He says they're named after Christus, which is Latin for Christ, who suffered the, quote, extreme penalty under Pontius Pilate during the reign of Tiberius. I mean, he writes this historical information about Jesus. About Christians, about the superstition that came up in Judea and made its way to Rome. And as the scriptures clearly explain, this was an early belief of the Christians. And Tacitus, who was a Roman figure, has established this in writing, reviewing what was written and knowing Tacitus is considered one of the most accurate historians to have written ancient documents. We can conclude several more things confirming the Bible's claims. For one, Jesus was put to death by Pontius Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. This is described by Luke in chapter 23. We also know that Christianity, quote, broke out, as Tacitus puts it, in Judea and spread quickly to Rome. Most historians would agree with this, and as would those followed by who followed the apostles' missionary journeys in the book of Acts. So, I mean, here we have a Roman historian saying, look, Jesus was real, Jesus was crucified, the Christians really followed him, and they believed that he was God.
Right, so the bottom line is if you're sitting out there and you have this in your mind that Jesus actually didn't exist, he's the fairy godmother or something like that.
Fairy godmother?
Yeah, you know.
He was a dude.
I know, but I mean, like that. I'm saying like the fairy godmother or the Easter bunny. He wasn't a rabbit, okay, but I'm comparing him to that anyway.
I see what you're saying.
You know.
Thank you for the clarification.
But let it be known that Jesus is a historical figure. And not only just shown in the Bible, but also in other historical documents that weren't even related to the Bible.
That's absolutely right. Exactly. Suetonius was another one. Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus.
Say it again.
Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus. I think that's just a poetic name. I just want Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus was a Roman historian who mentions Christ in Christians. His passages are notably shorter than others, but nevertheless, they do provide some interesting insight into biblical claims. Thank you, Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus.
Let's listen to your normal voice now. Okay,
you don't like that?
I can understand you.
Okay, well, he was the chief secretary of Emperor Hadrian, all right, about 117 to 138, not very far after Christ. And it's important to note that he had access to the imperial records. The first reference occurs in the section on Emperor Claudius, who was emperor 41 to 54. We're talking less than 10 years after Jesus died.
Right.
In one of his entrances about Claudius, Suetonius says, because the Jews at Rome caused continuous disturbances at the instigation of Crestus, an alternative spelling for Christ, he expelled them from the city. Now, this corresponds with Acts 18:2, which says that there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife because Claudius had ordered the Jews to leave Rome.
Aha.
So this historical event has been proven true by the historian Suetonius and proven that Jesus Christ was a follower and that his followers were actually called Christians. Just, I mean, we're talking like less than 10 years after Jesus supposedly died and rose from the dead.
And there were people living at that time that knew who Jesus was.
It's not like you could, I mean, okay, not 10 years ago, the year 2002.
Uh-huh.
Imagine someone, you know, says, well, there's this religious leader that supposedly rose from the dead. He had a bunch of followers and the United States government kicked them out, all the followers. Are you going to be able to make that up? No, there's got
to
be historical records. And these were the official Roman historical records saying this actually happened.
Just yet more evidence.
So, and you know, I mean, I want to make sure you understand this. Even Christopher Hitchens, the atheist, agrees that Jesus existed. He knows these historical records. He thinks the Bible's all wrong.
Right.
But he says, look, when you consider all these facts, And you figure that the Bible had to make stuff up to make Jesus look better. Jesus probably existed. We disagree with the Bible making stuff up, but listen to what he says.
But the fabrication itself suggests something. if they were simply going to make up the whole thing and there'd never been any such person, then why not just have him born in Bethlehem right there and leave out the Nazarene business?
Just leave out that, because right. He was called Jesus of Nazareth, and Hitchens is saying, well, he was born in Nazareth, not Bethlehem. Well, we've kind of shown that that was right. not true because of the historical information about the census we just right. showed. So we know Hitchens is wrong about that, but his whole point is, yeah, there probably was some kind of Jesus. If they made it all up, they wouldn't have been like, well, yeah, he was from Nazareth, but he was really born in Bethlehem.
They would have cut a lot of the fat off of it.
Exactly.
And just used really simple facts.
And so his conclusion is,
yes, there may have been a charismatic, deluded individual wandering around at that time.
That's right. And, you know, my question to Christopher Hitchens is, you know, does my co-host, Dave, actually exist?
Yes, there may have been a charismatic, deluded individual wandering around at that time.
Thanks. Oh, I see.
I appreciate that. Just turned it right around on me. That's all right.
Okay. No, but seriously, there's another historian, a guy named Thallus. Thallus is a historian who wrote during the time closest to the death and resurrection of Jesus out of all the guys we talked about so far. He wrote during AD 52.
Wow.
None of his works are really large. We have a few fragmented citations preserved by other writers. One of them, his name's Julius Africanus. And he quotes Thallus when he's talking about the darkness that followed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says when Jesus was crucified, darkness fell over all the land.
Right. A lot of people actually think, that didn't really happen.
Yes.
You know, but yet we have historical documents not related to the Bible.
Matthew 27:45, it talks about the darkness. And basically, they're talking about this darkness mm-hmm. in historical documents. So, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking, maybe this happened.
Right. It's overwhelming evidence.
It is. And there's even more guys than that. You know, it's not like we're just pulling like, well, we found two or three right. guys that mention it.
Josephus is another one that you didn't mention yet.
We didn't even. I'm not even going to talk about him today.
Okay.
But he was a Jewish writer. He wasn't even a Christian. He talks about Jesus quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But there's others. You know, Pliny the Younger. Mm-hmm. He was a government official. Pliny the Younger was a Roman author. He was an administrator in Asia Minor, and from his writings and judgments, we can clearly see that Christ was worshipped as a god by early believers, most likely because of the resurrection. Pliny the Younger actually refers to the resurrection as, quote, excessive superstition.
Like, oh boy.
It's not just superstition, it's excessive superstition. Mm-hmm. But the point is, believers already believed in the resurrection at the time of his writing, just a few years after Jesus. And he's already saying, look, these guys have some superstition about Jesus rising from the dead. Come on, guys. Get real. He is dead. Get over it.
Right. And he could not have been dead if he did not exist.
Exactly. And he also talks about Christians' moral rules and how it's reflected in Jesus' ethical teachings and things like that. So, you know, Pliny the Younger is a good example.
Does
too.
That imply there's a Pliny the Older?
Yeah,
that'd be his father?
Yeah, elder. Pliny the Elder.
Well, you say tomato, I say tomato.
It's tomato.
Sorry, I'm derailing the show today. I don't know what the deal is.
Yes, there may have been a charismatic, deluded individual wandering around at that time.
Yeah, let me speak to this quote for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. He thinks there was a charismatic, deluded individual named Jesus who walked around back then because he says, look, Jesus thinks he was God.
Right.
Jesus thinks he did miracles. Jesus thinks he's the Messiah. That's a deluded individual. But what is Hitchens really getting at? Jesus really existed.
Right.
Now, he thinks Jesus was crazy because Jesus thought he was God. But you're left with something C.S. Lewis called the trilemma. We're not going to get into this today, but either Jesus really was God or he was crazy.
Right.
Or he was a liar.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. There's a real, like, what was that dilemma that you just called?
Trilemma.
The trilemma. There you go.
Yeah, three options.
Right.
Because Jesus did exist. That's not an option. We know he existed. Anyway, all right. So Jesus was born. Merry Christmas on Christmas Eve here. You can go confidently knowing that Jesus Christ was born. Although probably not on December 25th. That's just right. The day we celebrate it and all that jazz. But come on out to Revolution Church Christmas Eve, Monday night, 6 p.m. Go to truthrevolution.tv. Catch us online.
See you next week.